hard times, and hard times it is in Cleveland, Ohio, and I could care less. I wouldn't care if LeBron James never won another game in his life. I don't like him. I don't like the Cavaliers. I don't like nothing in Cleveland, including the Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Don't like none of us. So there, you heard it from me. I'm a Laker man, born, bred, and will die that way.
And that song is appropriate for you, too, because the Lakers are terrible.
But speaking of basketball, I just want to get this self-serving plug in. The Western Pennsylvania Basketball Club Hall of Fame is upcoming. And, let me just give you some of the names. And, Kev, you'll recognize this name, the great Oscar Jackson. Mo Barr, Scott Nedro, Warren, you'll recognize this name, Big John Marshall, and everybody in the room will recognize this name, the greatest three-point shooter in Pitt University history, Jason Matthews. All of those people and many others, and yours truly, ladies and gentlemen, inducted into the Western Pennsylvania Basketball
Applaud,
Hall of
applaud,
Fame.
Applaud. Well, all right, know, all right, all right.
Well, you know, my grandfather used to say it's a poor dog that don't wag his own tail. So I got to put it out there. But look, let me just tell you this. I couldn't be more sincere when I say I'm just honored to be in the company. These were great basketball players. My recognition comes from my contribution as a coach and as an innovator and as a creator of basketball programs and camps and clinics and leagues and what have you, certainly the great Connie Hawkins Summer Basketball League and the loss of the great Connie Hawkins several months ago. So, you know, all that being said, I couldn't be more humble and more appreciative in saying that I was honored to be inducted and included among these great, great players. And those that came before, even John Calipari was inducted last year. Billy Knight, Myron Brown, B.B. Flannery, Kirk Bruce, just all the great, great players from this area and coaches and contributors. So I'm just happy to have been part of that group. Now, having said all that, we are joined by a great basketball player in his own right, Warren Wilson. And no, boys and girls, we're not talking about Warren Wilson Sr., not the old cat, not the bruiser, not the guy that mixed it up in the paint, not the guy that was fearless and came in with dumbbells on his shoulders. No, we're talking about Warren Jr., Warren Wilson Jr., the finesse player, the guy that gave you dunks when you wasn't paying attention and even more when you were paying attention. Penn Hills grad, Cal State grad, played some European basketball, now giving, coaching, teaching.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Neal. I appreciate you having me and giving me the opportunity to share with you. It's always a pleasure to be here and amongst
you're here,
the legends.
But let me throw it to Kev because he's leading this attack on LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavs and the Lakers and all the losers in the NBA.
All right, at the beginning of the year now, come on now, everybody said it's a done deal. Cleveland and Golden State. Excuse me. I want to know, has anyone changed their mind? Because I said at the beginning of the year, Mr. Neal, if you remember, Bill, I said Cleveland will not represent the East in the NBA championship.
You did say that.
Cleveland has a lot of issues, and they're coming out. They have a lot of players. Chemistry is important. You got to have chemistry. I know not too many people, not too many teams play defense in the NBA. But if you're a championship team, you need to play defense. Cleveland is falling apart. Now, I know they won, you know, a couple games, a few games here lately. But they've been to losing teams. When they play the big dogs, you know, the problems are there. I mean, what's going on? Explain it to me. You know, they can't get up and down the floor. They can't play defense. They try to blame it on Isaiah Thomas, who just started to play. He raised a point the other day. He said, hey, back in November, we couldn't play defense back in November. So now that I'm active and I'm getting my health back, why you blame me?
Of course,
why you blame me? Well,
but Isaiah is known for not playing defense no time, nowhere. He didn't play none in Boston, and the carryover is the same. But let's get some analysis from the basketball guy, uh-huh. because, you know, Warren Wilson, you've done your fair share of playing against some of the best that ever played the game. What's your analysis of the NBA the way it sits?
Well, first of all, it's always easier than it seems when you're watching, when you're actually out there. Everybody, you know, there's people saying that there's no defense being played. Meanwhile, these guys are cat quick. I mean, agility out of the roof. You know, they're professionals. So it's when you get to that level, it's hard to guard anybody because everybody could do everything. You know, maybe not today with these guys. A lot of the skills are kind of leaving with this young generation. They never really mastered, from what I'm seeing, mastered a lot of skill, but they can play D. Now, as far as Isaiah Thomas coming off an injury, you got to give him some slack a little bit because, you know, he came off a potential career-ending injury that if it would have happened, you know, some time ago. But now, you know, you can come back from these type of injuries. But, you know, I think in Cleveland, you know, it's not only the defensive thing, it's the chemistry thing. And, you know, there's chemistry with not just between the players, but within the ownership. You know, and when you have that kind of breakdown, with the infrastructure, you know, it's going to be hard to get anything done.
Now, clearly, it has come out as of late that Kyrie Irving couldn't get on a Greyhound bus fast enough to get out of Cleveland, that he wanted to get away from LeBron and that control and that dominance. And we're just finding out now how badly he wanted out of Cleveland. So is it to go along with that chemistry thing, is it up? Is it over for LeBron? Is the LeBron James dominance done?
You know, I don't think so. I think, you know, I keep hearing all these trade rumors and everybody's saying that he needs to go to a different place, like the Lakers, I've been hearing. And
For LeBron?
Yes, sir. For LeBron.
Trade or free agency? What are you hearing? I'm hearing free agency.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Free agency. Okay. Free agency. So I think it may be over in Cleveland, but over for LeBron in general, no. Absolutely not.
Or are they going to burn his jerseys again? LeBron too.
They better not, because he did what he said he was going to do. He brought Cleveland the championship. So, you know, modern day sports, you know, loyalty is it's in the wind now. You know, I wish loyalty was royalty, but that's just not how it goes today.
They cleared up some rumors about, you know, when the Steeler people started talking about they were burning Steeler shirts and all that kind of stuff. Ain't nobody burning up them $350 throwback shirts. Yeah. They burning up them Kmart shirts. They going out and get them $9.99 Kmart shirts and burning them. They ain't burning little, up them a, real a, Steeler shirts.
A little strategic.
Yeah,
there.
They ain't burning up them real LeBron James strategic. Shirts. That's for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot going on in the NBA. I tell you what, Golden State is just amazing. I watched them the other day against Chicago and watched Kyrie and the rest of the Durant and Curry and the rest of the crew go back and forth. And they know how to play basketball. And Bill, I know you're a big San Antonio Spurs fan. And I tell you what, they kind of reminded me of the San Antonio Spurs. Okay, and the reason that I say that is because in basketball, one of the keys of basketball, you have to keep that defense moving. And one of the best ways you keep that defense moving, you pass the ball. Okay, you don't do all that dribbling as much, and unless you have intent, you got to move the basketball. And I'm not sure about you all, but I don't think there's a team in the NBA that moves the basketball better than the Golden State Warriors. And not only do they move the basketball, they have a bunch of shooters on the floor
at all times. And you can't outrun a pass.
Right.
And it's, you know, that's a major part of understanding basketball. I met a coach years ago that came up to the Connie Hawkins League looking for players, and I can tell you at the time he took Levi Taylor nickname Ice Cream, because when he shot it was smooth and silk coming through the hoop, and Big Bill Johnson. He took both of them. He came looking for players, and I asked, I said, Coach, I got some great guards in the Connie Hawkins League, man. I got some great players. He said, and he's a Southern coach, he said, son, I'm looking for one thing. I'm looking for people who rebound the ball and pass it. I rebound the ball, I own the game. And that's what basketball is about, rebounding offensive and defensive boards, passing the basketball. You cannot outrun a pass. And to your point, Kevin, San Antonio was greater at that than they are now. They're fading because they're trying to hold on to the legends that are part of that historic team as they fade out and bring in
got some
people.
Injuries.
But you know, to your point about Golden State, and Warren, jump in. You know, every now and then you just get those special pieces. Mm-hmm. You know when you think Curry is out of ammunition, Thompson starts lighting you up.
Right.
You know, and then you bring two guys off the bench that can light you up. Yeah. And they just have all the ingredients. You know, I'll tell you who they remind me of more. They remind me of Magic Johnson and Showtime. I mean, they remind me of Showtime. Curry is Magic. He can score. He can dish. He handles the ball. He's a great a ball handler. They've got Thompson like Michael Cooper was. You've got these intricate parts that just put on a show when people get excited, and you know they get to the games to see Golden.
It always comes back to your Lakers.
Well, that's
right?
Okay. That's okay.
Always comes back to your Lakers, man.
Well, I tell you what, ain't going to go back to, and they're going to go back to the Celtics. I can promise you that.
I can't get.
But here's
that.
The thing:
they don't have the inside presence that the Lakers have.
I'm talking about the show. I'm talking about the show. Their Golden State show. People get to the games 2 hours before game time. Just to see these guys warm up. That's what I'm talking about.
No, I understand that piece. Yeah,
but it's the
yeah.
showtime, and it's the excitement of seeing Curry shoot the threes and dribble the ball and all that stuff. So that was my analogy.
I think they have an identity of their own. I mean, you know, I've never seen any team like it, you know. There's no team I've ever seen that could shoot the ball like that. You know, they're changing the way the game has been played. You know, Stephen A. Smith said that, you know, Steph Curry is the best shooter he's ever seen, ever, you know, and that says a lot, you know, and like you said, passing the ball and shooting the ball, if you can do that, and then also you have guys on that team that put their egos aside.
Exactly. Yes, they do.
It doesn't matter who scores as long as they win. And that seemed to be Cleveland's problem, which was why, you know, Kyrie wanted to get out because he wanted to be the star. LeBron wanted to be the big brother. And so, you know, Kyrie thinks he's older now. He's old enough to, you know, challenge the big brother. So, you know, he wants his own identity. But, you know, Steph and all those guys, they seem to have a little bit of humility about them, which is why they're going to be one of the long-lasting teams. And they're going to be competing for the next handful of years, next three to five years, they're going to be competing for a championship.
Now, Stephen A. Smith, he may want to check on a boy named Maravich, first name Pistol, before you start talking about greatest shooter you ever seen. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm just throwing it. First name Pistol, middle name Pete. Give you 45 every night without a 3-point line.
And he was from Aliquippa too.
Again, he was on. He lived outside of Aliquippa.
He grew up in Aliquippa. And as far as Cleveland, I think, you know, one of the things LeBron needs to do, if you ask me, is do the things that make sense. And when you take a look.
Go to L.A. Leave Cleveland and go to L.A. That's what makes sense.
If he goes to L.A., he might be with the Clippers, not the Lakers, okay? Let me say this. What I'm referring to with LeBron and ownership as well, because number one, I wouldn't allow Kyrie to leave. Okay, I don't care what he said. Okay, you're on the contract. I'm keeping you. You know, we're making another run. The players that were brought in, okay, Dwayne Wade. I understand that's LeBron's boy, but was it the right fit?
Yes, because of who he's married to. That's the only reason.
Well, let me ask you.
No, they brought him in because of his woman. They want his woman in the state. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm out of line.
Okay. Getting back to basketball now. LeBron needs to think about what is best to win. And I'm not sure if the Wade bringing him in was the best situation for Cleveland. And who knows? It might be Boston and Golden State.
Well, I'm not ruling out Cleveland at all. Still, LeBron James just went over 30,000 points. He was hot for the first quarter of the season. And I think that when it's time to make a run, he'll be there.
We should really understand the state of team sports. And again, team sports. Even if, you know, I can't stand in the NFL the New England Patriots. But that's the team. Okay? And it's no individual that's taken over. And even though they cheat, let me make that clear. And in my book, cheaters never win. But I can say they're a team.
The referee was celebrating with him in that touchdown, too.
I'm sure. But, you know, with Cleveland, even though LeBron James is so great, it's going to take a team to win a championship.
No one man in basketball can do it by himself.
And Warren, if you could just provide your comments again, you know, with these moves that Cleveland has made, if you feel, you know, these were good moves or you know, moves that shouldn't have been made.
Yeah, they first of all, like Mr. Jim said, you can't count LeBron out. That's number one. I mean, there's the Eastern Conference is not as strong as the Western Conference either. So, you know, and then you got, you know, the hype of the game where you want to see, technically you want to see Cleveland and Boston battle it out in the finals, in the Eastern Conference Finals. So, you know, the NBA is going to do what they can't do for business as well to see if they can push that theme to go forward. But, I mean, LeBron and Kyrie, in my opinion, second place isn't the worst place to be in the basketball world. Mm-hmm. You got there. You lost, but you got there. They should have stayed together and made one more run.
Thank you.
Then could have, you know, disbanded if that was the case, if they didn't repeat, at least get into the finals once more.
Right.
You know.
Well, it must in all sincerity, it must truly speak to the level of discontent Kyrie Irving had. Because you're right, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
Cleveland should have left it alone and repeated.
Yep.
But something apparently, from what we're hearing now, because it was said on one of the national sports talk shows that Kyrie Irving was contemplating knee surgery as a legitimate reason for not being able to finish out the season last year. I mean, that's how serious he was about wanting to get out of Cleveland or wanting to get away from LeBron. So it must have been very serious, and you just can't force that issue. Now, to Kevin's question, no, you can't ever count out a player as great as LeBron, but to Kevin's point, it's a team game. If a one man could win a basketball game, Chamberlain would have won all the titles. So, and the other thing that has to happen is this. Another thing we have to consider is this. You know, especially in basketball, the playoffs are you have to be mindful of the playoffs. You got Atlanta, you got Toronto, you got Washington. You know, the wear and tear in the NBA playoff run and having to have to play those teams that you're probably going to beat or should beat before you get to that Eastern Conference playoff. I mean, you kind of expect Golden State to do it. You wouldn't be shocked if Houston pulled it off. You wouldn't be shocked if San Antonio pulled it off. You'd be a little bit shocked if San Antonio.
It's not even in the picture.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, you never know. You got a key injury if Curry goes down. And so you never know.
Well,
my only point is that it's a journey to get to that finish line in the NBA. And you know, I think we're looking at the possibility of a Golden State versus a Boston, or a Golden State possibly versus a Cleveland.
And that's a good point, Bill, when you mentioned the injury. Okay, because if LeBron goes down,
it's all over.
It's all not over. Even a hope. Okay. But if Curry goes now, it's been proven that Golden State could still win, okay? And Durant, I think he missed some time as well not too long ago.
Last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they were able to win as well. And again, it's the most complete team. And I tell you what, who's also playing good ball is Oklahoma, okay? Oklahoma.
They just got a guy hurt, too.
It's really coming together.
That's another team, yeah.
With, I mean, Westbrook, when you're talking about someone that has heart and determination and will, I don't know anyone that does it better from that standpoint.
He's starting to shoot the ball real good.
Carmelo, and you have Paul George.
Well, the evidence of this about that is this. The second greatest player in the history of basketball couldn't do it by himself. Michael Jordan had to have help. Ooh. You know, well, Steve Kerr, John Paxton, those guys that shot the ball when he got doubled and tripled.
They have a warm body.
No, you had role players. Exactly. And you and as great as Michael Jordan was, he could go out and score 50 a night, but it wouldn't mean you could win the game. So, probably the greatest team sport that we know is basketball. And I think Warren's point was demonstrated very strongly when you spoke about they make it look easy. It may look like they're not playing great defense, but you try going out there and scoring on them. You'll see they're so long, they're so quick, they're so athletic that they make things look easy. And
five players are the greatest team sport. Come on, that's the easiest sport.
What's the other greatest team sport?
What, 22 players that play football?
No, I'm gonna tell you this. I'm going to tell you why there's a difference to me.
Okay.
There's an offensive line that is pretty much stagnant in what they do, and there's a defensive line. I mean, half of your offensive or defensive team is in a set position to do exactly what they do. I don't think there's any greater athletes on the planet than basketball players. People who can run forward, backward, sideways, jump up, fall down, shoot, pass, dunk, dribble. I think it's it requires the greatest level of talent than any athlete that we have. So that being said, I would ask permission from Kevin Cameron to allow me to identify that it's Soul Take Champions Live, coming to you live from Pittsburgh, PA. Kevin Cameron, Warren Wilson, Smoking Jim Frazier, and Bill Neal coming to you live across this great country, and it's Super Bowl Sunday. So everybody out there that didn't put your money down, it's too late to take it back now. And I'm still saying that New England wins it, and I guarantee you, James Harrison will be all over every website, social media line he can find.
It doesn't matter.
Stick it to the Steelers.
The Steelers won't win it. We know that.
That's a fact. But so. I do want to come back and talk about this a little bit. So I think we've established a little bit of the direction of the NBA. Oh, I'm sorry, and I have to say this. John Giamatti is the brains behind the Western Pennsylvania Basketball Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And I just wanted to put that out there because John, I think it's been 25 years now that I mean, you know what it takes, what it would have taken to get a John Calipari and Tim Gergridge and all those guys to come back to Pittsburgh to be honored. So kudos to John for all that he's done. But let's swing this way for just a little bit. You know, there's great conversation to be had about Pitt University basketball, Duquesne basketball. And, you know, to your point, Jim, most people
start. Is Pitt still playing basketball?
Well, and to your point, too, most people will take that position about Pitt basketball. Here's what I've been saying. And there's a couple things you have to consider. Everybody is talking about Kevin Stallings, the new coach, being dismissed after this year. So the thing you have to consider about that is if you dismiss him and you bring somebody in at his level or less, you're rebuilding all over again. I mean, that person's going to come in. Now he's going to want his own players. So the seven freshmen you have now now take a back seat to whoever the new guy comes in. Plus, you got to pay him if you get rid of him. So is Kevin Stallings the problem?
If you're not winning.
Well, if you let me finish, I'll equip a lip. Kevin Stallings, is he the problem? Is
yes,
lack
he is.
Of talent the problem? Is the Golden Panthers and the Pitt alumni the problem for forcing the coach Jamie Dixon out? There's a multitude of problems there. And while we're in the subject matter, boys and girls, if you haven't gone to see Duke basketball lately,
yes,
man, it's the greatest show in town. They got three guards down there that can play, and they're number two in the Atlantic 10. I mean, Duke basketball is back. No, they're not the greatest team on the East Coast, but it's good basketball. And I'll tell you this about the Pitt basketball team. It's good basketball. You got seven freshmen on a team, And they're playing. They're giving you what they got.
Stop lying to people, Bill.
They're giving you what they got. They're only playing.
You said it was good basketball. That's not a good basketball. Okay, it's okay basketball. That's terrible basketball.
It's okay basketball.
And Robert Morris is doing good, too.
And Robert Morris is playing good basketball.
I agree with that. And, you know, I'm an alum of Robert Morris as well as Pitt. Pitt basketball is terrible.
It's okay.
It's terrible.
Stallings, it's not as bad as it looks.
Need to go, okay?
So how are you going to fix it?
He needs to go.
How are you going to fix it?
Well, you fix it, number one, by putting the right coach in place.
Who would be your top prospect?
My top prospect, Ben Howland. I think he would enjoy the opportunity to come back. He knows what it takes to be successful at Pitt. He did it.
In the Big East.
And you can't blame him for leaving. He went to UCLA to a place where he grew up adoring. That was his dream job.
No, no problem.
So that would be my first phone call right there.
See, my contention out the gate was Sean Miller. While we're talking about coaches, my contention from the gate was Sean Miller.
I agree.
And then the word was, well, you can't afford him, and he doesn't want to leave Arizona. And, well, I'm going to say this.
I said the same thing.
Everybody has a price.
Right.
Everybody. And when you say you don't, it means you haven't hit the right price yet.
I'm sitting here quiet. I'm trying to be patient and respect my elders. Nobody is mentioning Brandon Knight.
Yeah, I'm right. Opposed to him.
Why? I'm Who saying, why did he get passed over for the opportunity when he was – what more do you have to do? You win the conference, you're a star, you're a borderline draft pick. Then you come back to your alma mater and you climb the ranks as assistant coach, go from grad assistant to assistant. Now he's assistant coach at Rutgers. He knows the game. Why wouldn't he get an opportunity? He definitely could have did better than –
this is why you have to bring back – Knight, because he did something that no other player in the history of Pitt did. He snuck into the arena in the middle of the night and put his jersey up there. I love Brandon ugly. Knight, but I'm all about putting the best person in that position.
But what about the most deserving? Do you think he was more deserving than the coach that's there now?
He would be a good head coach. I just don't think it's the proper time right now.
But here's the thing about that, Kev. It's like trying to get credit, needing credit to get credit. Yeah, and I suppose what Warren is saying is, if those upper echelon coaches are not available, why can't Brandon Knight have the opportunity? We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after this break.